It's hard to grow in generosity because our default settings are not generosity. It's stinginess. At our core, you're like me. I know you. It is wired within us to get all we can all we get, and then hide the can. But I'm believing God is going to do something so supernatural. We want to learn how to grow in generosity. And we're going to learn how to live the good life, which is not a life of bless me, bless me, bless me, but Lord, use me and let your love and your life flow through me to other people. You are not supposed to die full. You're supposed to die empty. You're supposed to die empty. And so who better to learn from than the great Apostle Paul, the artist formerly known as Saul. And I want to look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. This is Paul writing to his spiritual son, Timothy, and let's look at what he says. He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God. Stir up the gift of God. Don't store up the gift of God. Stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's good stuff right there. And then I want to add one more scripture to this that might seem like it's out of order right now, but stay with me to the end. It'll make sense at the end. I want to add this scripture from Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And it declares, God formed man out of dirt from the ground and blew into his nostrils the breath of life. The man came alive, a living soul. Paul says, Timothy, stir up the gift of God which is in you. And all the way from Genesis, God breathed the breath of life in us. Now, generosity, understand, is way deeper than money. But we have to talk about money when talking about generosity because Jesus talked about it. He talked about it because the reality is, when it comes to money, our heart is connected to it. That's why the Bible says things like, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Jesus says things like, you cannot serve both God and money. Think about that for a moment. God says, my number one competitor is not football. It's not sex. It's money. You cannot serve both. Why would he put money on the same scale as himself? Because money will say things to you that God is supposed to do. Money will say things to you like, let me open doors for you. Let me make a way for you. Let me show you where your value and your significance really are. Money will say things to you that only God is supposed to provide for you. Not only that, studies have shown that even when you start to make more money and you start to make more income, it's interesting what happens in people's psychology. Whenever people start making more money and start climbing up the economic ladder, we don't usually tend to think, well, now I have more responsibility to be generous. We don't even tend to think, huh, I make more money than other people. Psychologists have told us we tend to think I'm now better than other people because I make more than you. Look at what I drive. Look at what I wear. I'm better than you. Which is a strange thought to have, to think that you are better than anybody, especially because the Bible lets you know in Genesis 2:7 that God created man from the very dirt of the earth. If there was ever a Bible verse that should stop you from being arrogant, if you are struggling with any type of pride, please go to Genesis 2:7. That should help your pride right there. The Bible is very clear that none of us came from some amazing celestial substance. All of us came from dirt. According to Genesis 2:7, every person is a dirt bag because we came from nothing. Every single person came from nothing but dirt. The Bible is clear. And it's funny to me to think about all the things we do for our dirt. Like you got up today and you washed your dirt. I hope you washed your dirt. You put deodorant on your dirt. Ladies, the amount of money you spend on your dirt. Oh, you get your dirt manicured. You get your dirt pedicured. People spend billions of dollars around the world on dirt surgery, dirt suction, dirt lift, all the things that we do for our dirt. And I don't understand, of all the things that God could have used to create us, why would he use dirt? You understand that your God does everything with beauty and with splendor. If you've ever seen a sunset, you've seen the handiwork of our God. If you've ever had your breath taken away by the beauty of creation, that was done by the hand of our God. He did the streets of heaven in gold. He did the gates in heaven of pearl. But when he got ready to create his prized possession, the one he sent his only son to die on the cross for, of all the things he could have used, he said, let's use dirt. Now, hold on, God. Streets in heaven get gold, but we get dirt. That's messed up. Till God started revealing the revelation that is hidden even within the creation process. Because since the beginning of time, God has actually been teaching us something about who He is and about what He works with. And hear me, you ought to be excited today that you serve a God who is holy, but He's not afraid to work with things that are dirty. You serve a God who is awesome, but is not afraid to work with things that are awful. You serve a God who is magnificent, but He's not intimidated by things that are ordinary, dirty, or mundane. And I want to thank God that when everybody else is trying to keep dirty situations and people away from them, God says, no, 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 bring me that dirt. That dirt that you think is insignificant. That person you think that I cannot use. I will put my hands on that dirt. I will shape that dirt. I will work with that dirt. And I can use it for my glory and for my purpose. God is showing us that He can work with dirt, work with messed up, God issues, dirt situations. Not show us this, you understand, in the creation narrative. You're the only thing that God put His hands on. He reached down and touched the dirt. Not only did He touch the dirt, He breathed into the dirt, and it came alive and became a living soul. That means the breath of God is on the inside of you. Do you know what your most valuable asset is? It's not your house. It's not your boat. The most valuable asset you have is that the breath of God is on the inside of you. A generous God put His breath in humanity and then gives us the opportunity to be generous with our life and give it back to Him. So what are you doing with the breath, the borrowed breath that He gave you? He works with dirt. Dirt is the only environment that is conducive for a seed. You can't put a seed in a diamond. You can't put a seed in gold. But if you get some dirt and place a seed in it, you can watch it grow into something beautiful and powerful. And I tell you, our God is a good, good Father, and He's a good, good gardener. And although you came from dirt, there is a seed on the inside of you, and that seed is a gift. And I came to tell you, He is ready for you to stir it up. You have got to stir up the gift that God has placed on the inside of you. To me, generosity, the good life, starts with somebody who's not stored up the gift of God, but has made a decision to stir up the gift of God. I love this text in 2 Timothy because the Apostle Paul, he's writing to his spiritual son Timothy, and he's letting him know about the gift that God has put on the inside of him. But you can't really appreciate what Paul is writing to Timothy until you understand the context from which Paul is writing it from. Paul is writing 2 Timothy from a jail cell. He's writing from a jail cell. Whenever you read 2 Timothy, you are eavesdropping into the psychology of somebody that knows they're about to die. Paul knows his life is coming to an end. When you know you're about to die, you understand that your words are powerful, that they mean something. You don't have time to waste when you know you're about to die. Can you imagine if I told you you only had 24 hours to live? Binging Netflix would not be that important to you. So I find it intriguing in the last moments of the Apostle Paul's life, of all the things he could have written about, he feels the need to tell his spiritual son, Timothy, whatever you do, stir up the gift of God on the inside of you. Whatever you do, make sure you are doing something with what a generous God has given you. He gave you a direct deposit. What in the world, Paul, if that was me and they're about to kill me, the last thing I'm going to do is write you a letter about stirring up the gift of God. I'm writing one letter. If I'm on death row, don't kill me. But not Paul. He feels the need to tell Timothy, stir up the gift of God that is in you. Why? Because that is what life is about. The good life. What did you do with what God put in you? When you get to heaven, God's not going to ask you what your favorite denomination was. He's going to want to know, what did you do with the deposit? What did you do with the opportunities that I put on the inside of you? Are you exhaling what I inhaled inside of you before the foundation of the earth? We are living our entire life to hear two words, well done, my good and faithful servant. Not well posted, my good and faithful servant. Not well thought, my good and faithful servant. Not well dreamed, my good and faithful servant. Well done. And some of us, I'm convinced, when we get to heaven, God's going to go, well, because we didn't stir up what God put on the inside of us. This is why Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, he says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the all-surpassing power is from, here it is, God, not from us. Look at what he says in the book of Romans, Romans 12, 6 through 8. He says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it's gifting, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Do something with the gift God has given you. Don't store it up. Stir it up. You've been given a direct deposit from a generous God who just gave it to you. I hope somebody sees where I'm going with this today, because I'm convinced there are so many believers that have their nose pressed up against the window pane of their life, and you think your heavenly Father lied about what He was going to do in you and through you. And God's going, "No, I didn't lie. I've just been waiting on you to do something. I've been waiting on you to stir up the gift of God that's in you. I gave you a deposit. You got to stir it up. You got to stir past worry. You got to stir past fear. Stir past your insecurity. Stir past what they said on your Facebook page. Stir past the comment section. Stir it up. Would you stir up the gift of God that's on the inside of you? It doesn't matter what's happened in your past. God wants to do something new on the inside of you. You got to stir it up. And once you stir it up, you begin to see, wait a minute, there's a gift on the inside of me, a direct deposit. Oh, I don't see that happening in your life. I don't see God doing that. Of course you don't see it. God put a gift on the inside of me. And as soon as I start stirring up the gift, as soon as I start working what He gave me, you're going to see something that eyes have not seen and ears have not heard. Neither has it entered into the heart of men, the things that God has already deposited on the inside of you. Do you want to know the good life? The good life is the day you realize the gift that the generous God put on the inside of you. This right here is the greatest day of your life. In fact, one writer says it like this: there's two important days in your life. Not the day you're born and the day you die, but the day you're born and the day you find out why you were born. Stir up the gift. Generosity to me, the good life, is when I stir up the gift of God on the inside of me. And I say, "God, here's my gift. Use it for your glory. I came to tell somebody this is your season to stir it up. What are you waiting for? I promise you, you have something. You have something. Every single person has a gift. Something God has given you to do what He's called you to do. And I'm wondering, do you know what your gift is?" And I came to tell somebody, stir up the gift of God that's on the inside of you. Now, I wish I could land the sermon right there. and say, just stir up the gift. And once you stir up the gift, life is going to be easy and you're not going to have any issues. I wish I had that message for you today. I wish the good life was just stir up the gift, work the gift, and use it for God's glory. The end. But no, 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 no. I have to warn you that the day you stir up the gift of God, the day you realize what God has put in you, and you take it seriously, get ready for all hell to break loose in your life. Because if there's anybody that's on the hit list of hell, it's the person that's understood what God has given them. Once you realize your gift, the enemy's going to come after you. And I came to tell you, there are three entities that are after your gift. God wants your gift. The enemy wants your gift. And other people want your gift. All your life, they're going after the direct deposit. God wants it because he gave it to you. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. And tell me, fulfillment is when you say, God, here's my gift. I'm giving it to you. God wants it because he gave it to you. The enemy will convince you to use your gift for you. I want to make that clear. The kingdom of darkness doesn't want you to walk around looking evil, wearing all black. No, he'll just say, use your gift to serve you. Just do you. That's actually the enemy's favorite line. Do you. Do what you feel. Be selfish. Use your gift for you. But then other people want your gift. This is where it gets tricky. Because God wants my gift. That's a good thing. The enemy wants my gift. That's a bad thing. But other people wanting my gift, is that good or is that bad? Because other people want your gift. The only problem with other people who want your gift, because gifts are shiny, you have to know that when other people meet you, they don't just get your gift, they also get your dirt. And other people can handle your gift, but not a whole lot of people can handle your dirt. Your dirt is your humanity. Your dirt is the part you don't post. So most of us go through life showing our gifts and hiding our dirt. And if you're not careful, you'll start approaching God, showing the good parts and trying to hide the mess. Showing God, hey, you can use this, but you can't use this, so I'll just hide it. That's not freedom. Freedom and the good life is when you take your dirt, all your flaws, all your issues, and you take your gift and you get it out of your hands and put it in the hands of a God that created you. You put it in the hands of the God that formed you. When you get it out of your hands, that's the good life. Life is predicated upon those hands. You put something in. Life is predicated upon those hands. You put something in. A basketball in my hands, is worth about $20. That same basketball in the hands of Steph Curry is worth $160 million. It matters whose hands you put something in. If you take a paintbrush and you put it in my hands, I will paint you some beautiful stick figures. But you take that same paintbrush and paint and put it in the hands of a Leonardo da Vinci, you have a masterpiece that will take your breath away. Because it matters whose hands you put something in. If you give me a staff or a rod, I won't do anything with it in my hands. But in the hands of a Moses, it will part a Red Sea, and people will walk out of slavery into freedom. A slingshot in my hands can't even hit the broadside of a barn. But a slingshot in the hand of a young boy named David will defeat a giant and knock him down. If you take a hammer and some nails and you put it in my hands, I'll build you a birdhouse. But you take the same hammer and the same nails and put it in the hands of Jesus, we got salvation. We got life. We got freedom. We got joy. We got peace. We have hope. We have every single thing we need because of a generous God who gave his life for us and made a direct deposit. The good life is when you realize what has been deposited on the inside of you. And you say, God, I'm not just giving you my gift and the good parts, because you can handle my dirt too. And I'm going to put it in your hands. Use my life for your glory. Let us pray. So, Father, we thank you for modeling generosity. For you so loved the world that you gave your only Son. God, if it was just one of us, you would have done it for us. You would have been so good. You would have been so faithful, so kind. Lord, from Genesis, you showed us that you're not afraid of dirt. You can work with dirt. So, Lord, today we thank you for the direct deposit that you've put in us. Help us to stir it up, bring it to you so that so many people's lives will be changed for your glory and for your purpose. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.